The great Creator, He became my Savior, and all Godfulness dwelleth in me. Oh, I love Him, how I adore Him. My breath, my soul shine, my lonely Lord. The great Creator, He became my Savior, and all Godfulness dwelleth in Him. One more time. Oh, how I love. Oh, yes, Lord. How I adore Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning. Oh, yes, we love You, Lord, because You first loved us, Lord. And we thank You, the Lord Jesus, this morning. Oh, church bells ringing in our hearts, Lord. Oh, we've run to no other place but right in Your presence, Lord. We thank You, we bless You. Oh, and all Godfulness dwelleth in Him. Amen. Amen. He first loved us. Praise the Lord. The love of God is so great. As we all know, the love of God is election. That...
Sorry, sister. Thanks. Oh, thank you, sister.
Oh, as we look out there, oh Lord, we see the rising of the sun, which has risen in our hearts also, Lord. And the breeze of life that is blowing, oh God, we thank You, we give all glory to You. And to be in Your presence, Lord, this morning to start the week, oh, we know it's all grace, Lord. We thank You, we bless You. We commit, Lord, the Sunday schools, Lord, into Your hands here and above. The children's side, O Lord, we commit all into Your hands. The Lord, Your word, O God, You the teacher, You are the author. Lord, You take them and bring them, Lord, life unto us. We thank You once again in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we be seated? Yes, we are on this subject. It's really very, very important to the church. Amen. Very important to the church. We see something that just started a deed. And now today, let's see if we can finish and you see where it reached. Because the prophet himself said it was called deeds. Then it became a doctrine. It became the standard, and it became the unbending way. So we are going to go through this today. We are going to look at the doctrine, and the doctrine will take us through the standard and the unbending way. Amen. The prophet said something. He said, so has thou, said, for whatever started in the early church must continue in every age until it is finally blessed and exalted by God or destroyed as an unclean thing in the lake of fire. Amen. So he's talking about two things. Is that anything that started in the early church, and we know there are always two, praise the Lord, the life and the death, good and bad. So these two things, is that whatsoever starts in the early church must continue in every age. That means it will continue in this age also, until it is finally blessed and exalted. That's the things that are good, it will be blessed and exalted, or destroyed as an unclean thing in the lake of fire. So two things. The good things will be blessed and exalted, and the unclean ones to be found nowhere but in the lake of fire. And so if we take the good way, we will be blessed and exalted. If you take the wrong way, you'll be destroyed as an unclean thing in the lake of fire. So our text is Revelation 2:15. Let's just stand. It's just a line. Let's stand to the reading of the word. Revelation 2:15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. So now we have moved from the seed. We are now in on what? The doctrine. The deed, which was a seed that was planted in the beginning as deeds, now it's come to what? A doctrine. May the Lord bless his word. May we be seated. God bless you. So I think we all can recall what is the meaning of Nicolaitans, which the prophet said is two Greek words, Nikao and Laos. Nikao means to conquer, and Laos is the laity, that's the congregation. So the two coming together, it means to conquer the congregation, to conquer the laity. Amen. So that's Nicolaitan. Nicolaitan is to conquer the congregation. So let's see how it goes. The prophet said it was a terrible thing. Now, why is this a terrible thing? It is terrible because God has never placed his church in the hands of an elected leadership which moves with political mindedness. God has never done something like that. Amen. To put his church in the hands of an elected leadership, as a man electing someone, praise the Lord, said he has placed his church in the care of God-ordained, spirit-filled, word-living men who leads the people through feeding them with the word. God has placed his church in the care of God-ordained, spirit-filled, word-living. Their life, you can see the word in their life. Word-living men who leads the people through feeding them with the word. He said he has not separated the people into classes so that the masses are led by a holy priesthood. It is true that the leadership must be holy, but then so must be the whole congregation. Praise the Lord. So there is no separation that someone is holy and you, the congregation, you are not holy. Huh? No. That's not what the Lord does, it seems. Praise the Lord. He said, if holiness, then the whole congregation is holy. Amen. So there's no separation that there's someone who is more holy, so we must bow to that person. No, sir. Further, there is no place in the world where priests or ministers or such mediate between God and the people, nor is there a place where they are separated in their worship of the Lord. Amen. See? Someone mediating between you and God. I know they said they have some. I've been to many of their churches. I've seen that box. You hide inside and then you come and tell all your secrets, and then he will tell, okay, I will speak with God and all your sins is forgiven. No, sir. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Said God wants all to love and serve him together. See? So there's no separation. Here, whether a minister, whether a deacon or whoever, we are all one. Praise the Lord. There is no difference. Amen. Ministers sit among congregation and everything is what? It's the same. Praise the Lord. No difference. That some people are separated to be put in a higher ground and a higher place and considered to be more holy than others. No, sir. So he said, Nicolaitanism destroys those precepts and instead separates the ministers from the people and makes the leaders the overlords instead of servants. Amen. Amen. Ministers are servants. Servant. Praise God. Amen. They are not supposed to lord over the congregation. They are servants. See? Amen. Now, elders and bishops, let's see what happened here. Now, this doctrine, as Nicolaitan doctrine, actually started as a deed in the first age, which we all know. It appears that the problem lay in two words, elders and overseers. Now, let's listen closely how the prophet explain these two things. Elders and overseers. He said, those scripture shows that there are several elders in each church. Some began to teach that the idea of a bishop was one of preeminence or authority and control the elders. If you are a bishop, they believe that if you are a bishop, that means you have a preeminence and authority over the elders. Now, let's see how the prophet explained it. Now, the truth of the matter is the word elder signifies who the person is, while the word bishop signifies the office of the same person. You see it? Bishop is the office. The elder is a person, while the bishop signifies the office of the same man. Amen. The elder is the man, bishop is the office of the man. But look at the way how they changed the whole thing. We are coming on that. Elder always has and always will refer simply to a man's chronological age in the Lord. When we say chronological age, that means his many years of experience in the Lord. Amen. As elder. He is an elder not because he is elected or ordained. No. But because he is older, he is more seasoned, trained, not a novice, reliable because of experience and long-standing proof of his Christian experience. That's the elder. Amen. So an elder is not someone who has been ordained, but he's considered by this experience, see, for his long experience in the Lord, someone who is seasoned, not a novice, reliable, experienced, long-standing proof. See, they will call him out an elder. Amen. But no, see, the bishop did not stick to the epistles of Paul, but rather they went to Paul's account. See, they went to Paul's account of the time he called the elders from Ephesus to Miletus. One time in the scripture, Acts 20, Paul called the elders in the Ephesus church to Miletus. And that's what they are looking at. So the elders were called then in verse 28 of Acts 20. They are called overseers as bishops. And these bishops, no doubt, political minded and anxious for power, insisted that Paul had given them the meaning that overseers were more than the local elder with official capacity only in his own church. You see, when Paul called them, he made them overseers. The elders, he made them overseers, and their office bishop is still stands. Their office must be what? Bishop. It's an office, it's not anything of a person. But when the people were referring that when they were called overseers and bishops, that means they were given a higher rank. So those people now, those who were called to Miletus, that means they now have authority over other elders because they have been called by Paul. So they use that as what? They use that as a way that Paul called them, and then he has lifted them up. So instead of the bishop to be the office work, now bishop becomes a person. Praise the Lord. Instead of to be the office, now bishop had become a person. To them, a bishop was the one with extended authority over the local leaders. Such a concept was neither scriptural or historical, yet every a man of the stature of Polycarp leaned towards such organization. Amen. So now they've taken the word bishop to make to be what? A person. So the bishop now is higher than the local leader or the local overseer or whoever be it. Bishop is higher rank now. See the way how they put it. Praise the Lord. Thus, that which started as deed in the first age was made a literal doctrine. So it is today. Bishops still claim power to control men and deal with them as they desire, placing them where they so will in the ministry. So now today, that's what is happening. A bishop now is a person instead of an office of a person. Now the bishop has become a person. Praise the Lord. And now he can now give orders and place people here. You go here, you be here, and all these things. Is that this denies the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. This is anti-word or antichrist. I wanted to talk about Polycarp, but because of time, let's just put that one aside for a time. Now let's read Matthew 20, 25 to 28 quickly. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. That's the Gentiles' way of life. That princes, if you are a prince, we know already, prince or kings and all those, they exercise what? Authority, dominion over what? The people. Amen. But it shall not be so among you. Praise the Lord. But whatsoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Amen. So, he was giving this analysis so that the Gentiles, your way of life, you don't bring it to what? Into the house of God. If you are a king in your village, you don't have authority when you come to church, or you are in the church, you have, because you are a king, so you come with a, you want a special chair, you want a, to order people. No, sir. Praise the Lord. So if you are a prince in your country, in the house of God, you are what? You are the same. Like any ordinary brother in the church. Praise the Lord. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give life, and give and to give his life a ransom to for many. See, Jesus himself came as what? A servant. Came to serve us. He put on, he said, he was made a little lower than the angels. See. So that he could be a kinsman redeemer to you and me. Now let's look at Matthew 23:8-9. Quickly so that we come to a very important matter here. Another one that Jesus said, he said, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. So no one should be called rabbi. It's exclusively the master's word, please. Amen. And all ye are brethren, all of us are brethren. Verse 9. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Amen. He's not talking about family matters, but he's talking about what? Spiritual matters. Praise the Lord. You know, there is a church, they call some of their people father. Huh? When I was a child, we are going to father. When we go to father's place, he gives us toffee. Amen. Anytime we go there, father will come. Father, we want toffee. And then the father will give us toffee. He said, no man should be considered as father on earth here. Praise the Lord. Your father is in heaven. Amen. So, is talking about how the whole church is that you are all brethren. Amen. You are all brethren. And then even the great amongst you, the chief amongst you, must be what? A minister. He must be what? A servant. Praise the Lord. A servant. In order to clarify this even more, let me explain Nicolaitanism in this way. You will recall that in Revelation 13:3, if you can put it quickly, Revelation 13:3. It's very, very important here. Let's just finish that one. And if we couldn't, we will continue next week. And I saw one of his head, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. Amen. My. Now, We know that the wounded head was the pagan Roman Empire. The wounded head was the pagan Roman Empire. You know, Roman Empire was a real powerful empire. But it was eventually defeated. That's what the Bible is referring to, that his head was what? Wounded. When Roman Empire was defeated. Amen. His head was what? Wounded. That great political world power, his head rose again as the Roman Catholic spiritual empire. Before, it was what? A pagan empire. Very strong, conquered almost the northern of us. I know it by history. The whole of North America, Africa. That area was called Carthage. And they were called the Carthaginians. And they had a very powerful leader called Hannibal. Praise the Lord. The Roman Empire conquered all those places. You know, Julius Caesar went as far as even nearly to come to UK. Conquered almost the whole of what? Europe. It was a great empire. But that empire was what? Defeated. That means the head was wounded. Then that same head was healed. Was just something wondrous. It was healed now to become what? A spiritual, religious power. You get it? That's what Revelation 13:3 is talking about. Amen. Pagan empire, now it has become what? Religious empire. Now watch this carefully. What did political pagan Rome do? That was the basis of her success. She divided and conquered. That was their way of what? Conquering. They will make sure that they create division amongst you and then strike you people, because you people cannot come together and what? Defend yourself. Praise the Lord. And so he creates that kind of division among you people, and then he strikes. Because if you are one, you'll be stronger. So that's the pagan Roman Empire. That was the way how they defeated number of what? Nations. Create division amongst them. Speak here, speak that way, and then the people say, so you were doing this. Then the people are what? They are misunderstanding prevails between those two people, and then he's able to strike them because they cannot come together and defend themselves. So he said, political pagan Rome, what did political Roman do? That was the basis of her sources. She divided and conquered. That was the seed of Rome, divide and conquer. Her iron teeth tore and devoured. Whom she tore and devoured could not rise again. Amen. And when she destroyed Carthage and sold her to salt, it never rose up again. Amen. Said the same iron seed remained in her when she arose as a false church. And her policy has remained the same, divide and conquer. That is Nicolaitanism, and God hates it. Amen. So that's the same tactics, even when it became a religious empire, it creates what? Divisions. And then we'll be able to what? Bring you people under his domain. Now, it is a well-known historical fact that when this error crept into the church, men began to vie for the office of bishop, with the result that this position was being given to the more educated people. Now, bishop has become what? Something lucrative in the church. It's a position. So now everyone was fighting to be a bishop. And normally, and what they do is that if you are more educated, they consider you. When you are materially progressive, you have households, you have this, you have money. Oh, yeah, you can be a bishop. See. Or politically minded men, when you are really knows politics, you will be considered. So that's the position. Bishop now is that human knowledge and program began to take over divine wisdom. And the Holy Spirit no longer controlled. In such a situation, when you appoint someone who is because of education, because he's materially progressive, someone who is politically minded, can the Holy Spirit work in that church? You see. This was indeed a tragic evil, for the bishops began to maintain that it is no longer required a transparent Christian character to minister. Either the word or the rites and everything. You see. It doesn't mean if you have a Christian character, no. What we need is a more educated, materially progressed, someone who is rich, someone who is politically minded. To what? To be a bishop. So, they push away the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He said, the man-made doctrine of elevation of bishops to place not accorded them in the scripture, they did it. Now, bishops looking and said, now let's lift up ourselves so that other people will be appointed what? Bishops, you see? So the next step was elevation of bishops to take the place not accorded them in scripture. And then they were handing out graded titles that built up into a religious hierarchy. The bishops now were dictating. So if now I appoint you a bishop, I had to go higher. You understand? Yes. So soon they were archbishops. So you are bishops, I'm now archbishops. So archbishops over bishops. And then later we have to appoint archbishops. So now we have to elevate ourselves. The archbishop had to go to cardinals. See. So he said, by the time of Boniface the Third, Boniface the Third, he was a ruler of Rome, there was a pope overall, a pontiff. Amen. So look at the whole thing, a small thing that started in the Church of Ephesus as a deed that was not killed. Look at how it has traveled through the church ages gradually, gradually. Now look at where it has become now. A pontiff, just a deed, has gone through the church ages. And has become now a position as unbending. You cannot bend it anymore. So it has traveled through doctrine to a standard and then to an unbending way, which is the pontiff. Amen. So that's how the prophet said, anything that starts in the beginning, if it is good, it will be blessed and elevated, exalted. If it is evil, it will be destroyed as an unclean thing, and then it finds itself in the lake of fire. So, my brethren, that's where we've come from, the seed of the Nicolaitans to the doctrine, down to standards, and then to an unbending way, the pontiff itself. So when anything starts in the church, my brother, if it's contrary to the word, let's kill it. Amen. Right away. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesus allowed it to stay. And now that is what has created. Praise God. So we are all watching. Let's all be watchmen. Praise the Lord. And watch if there is anything coming in. Human reasoning and suggestions, my brother, let's put it the right place. Amen. Let's bow down our heads. Our dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have exposed the work of Satan, which always comes in the church to take it away from the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this revelation, Lord. Now, Lord, we want to commit the song leader into your hands and the musicians, our instruments, our lips, our hands. We want to worship you this morning. We want to praise you, Lord. We want to lift up your name. So, Lord Jesus, oh, let your spirit now come, fill our hearts with joy, and let's praise your name, Lord. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.